Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit, a Lilydale Blog Talk Radio show here on blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio, and also broadcasting live on Facebook every week on both the Lilydale Assembly site and my own webpage. My name is Celeste Elliott, and you'll be spending the next hour with me talking about all things spiritual. I try to make this a little bit of a morning show, to be honest. So good morning to everybody that is calling in. If you would like to ask a question today or you're looking for some mediumship guidance, the number is 818-739-8818. And so I am very excited this morning. I am wearing all things green and Irish today to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, which I like to refer to as Irish Day. For some people, this is a very spiritual holiday, a religious holiday. For me, all about kind of celebrating my Celtic roots. Celtic, not Celtic. Celtic is the sports team. And I wouldn't know anything about that. So, but I thought I'd start the day. I wanted to bring you a poem from one of my favorite authors, John O'Donohue, and he is a modern day Irish poet. So no Lord Byron here. A little too old for me at the moment, but John O'Donohue, and one of his many books that I have is called To Bless the Space Between Us, and it is literally a book of blessings. And I found that very intriguing because I feel like so many times as we're growing up, we're told that, you know, best leave it to the professionals sort of thing. So, you know, we may say a blessing over our food as at a family gathering, but it's done in a particular way, you know, not sort of free form and what's coming from the heart. And I find that those are often the most powerful prayers and the most powerful blessings. So, I hope that I'm getting some notifications here that people are having communication issues because of weather. We should be clear on that today. I am using a landline for our callers on the Blog Talk Show. I'm also using the personal hotspot for the web people. So we should be okay, but it is definitely chilly out there. I did not plow yesterday. I took my car out in the morning, and I'm waiting for the plow guys to come later today. It is up over my knee because winter said, hey, if I'm going to make this short with an early Easter, then I'm going to come hard at you. So hopefully that is the last big snow. It is coming down ever so gently, but it has been coming down ever so gently for hours and hours and hours. Good morning, everybody who's just joining us. So as I was saying, I wanted to bring you a blessing, a morning blessing from To Bless the Space Between Us by John O'Donohue. And if you haven't heard of him, I would suggest going online and checking him out. He's really kind of awesome. So the poem today is on page 7, and it's about beginning. I arise today in the name of silence, womb of the word, in the name of stillness, home of belonging, in the name of the solitude of the soul and the earth. I arise today, blessed by all things, wings of breath, the light of eyes, wonder of whisper, intimacy of touch, eternity of soul, urgency of thought, miracle of health, embrace of God. May I live this day, compassionate of heart, clear in word, gracious in awareness, courageous in thought, generous in love. That's one of my favorites for the morning. I try to take time every morning to meditate and get myself into a good headspace and just kind of, you know, sometimes people have anxiety that comes on them at night. I saw something the other day that that said something along the lines of, I've laid down to sleep and my brain has now offered me a selection of misdeeds, things that need done, and complications that could arise over the course of the next 150 years. And I thought, well, if that isn't spot on for a lot of people, but you know, the more that we live our lives as our spiritual practice, the easier this sort of thing becomes, and the easier it is to sort of put anxiety aside. You know, because it's not about anxiety is not about you know, fear of what could happen. Anxiety is about not being able to control what happens, you know, and that's really what it comes down to, is that kind of need to control, and that's something that as we live our lives more in the flow is something that can kind of start to go by the wayside a little bit, because we know that there's something supporting us, something holding on to us. And we may term that in different ways. You know, in a spiritual practice, you may term that as creator or God or infinite intelligence or mother, father, God, or whatever your understanding is right and is valid. And that's why I wanted to bring you that morning blessing from the book this morning, because I thought, you know, every day is an opportunity to celebrate. Every day is an opportunity to acknowledge, you know, that we have a new chance, that we have something else that we can do. We can live each moment breath by breath if we need to. We can live it minute at a time. We can live it 5 minutes at a time. I am told that Elon Musk, who has a way busier schedule than I do, thank God, I don't want to be that busy. I like what I do, but to be busy every minute does not say personal freedom to me. But he's a very productive guy. And I'm told that he lives with his schedule 5 minutes at a time. For me, I have broken it down at times when I've been super, super busy into half an hour chunks. But within that half an hour chunk is every second where you just have to remember to breathe and to relax into what you're doing. Just handling something a minute at a time, a second at a time, however you need to do it. And not about being in control of that minute, but just being aware of how you're feeling as you're going through things, okay? Because we're all in this point where we're trying to balance between what is in the now and also looking at sort of the long term. For the people who live totally in the now and what feels good in the now, that can get us into some trouble later on if we're not overly careful. So, okay, so this is me philosophizing a little bit, I know. I am wearing my all of my Irish garb today, all kinds of shamrocks, from my earrings to my scarf here, and even my collado ring, which I wear pretty frequently, actually. And, you know, it's symbolism. And sometimes, you know, symbolism can be a very important and very, very powerful thing in our lives also, because it gives us an opportunity to be in tune, you know, and what does that mean for you? And sometimes we can have a symbol hit us over the head time and time and time again. And especially with the work that I do as a medium, you know, there are times when it's like it just goes sailing right over my head, and I could have this new piece of symbolism for that can appear every now and again for months or years, and you try to interpret it as you understand it in the moment. But sometimes if spirit really, really wants to bring something through to you, they will find a way. So this is something that happened to me last week, actually. I was sitting somewhere in a waiting area, and I noticed that somebody had a tattoo in their ear and across the top, and I thought that was highly, highly unusual. You know, it wasn't something that someplace that you would expect to see a tattoo. That probably hurt like heck, so God bless them. But it was a spider web. And I didn't have the opportunity or perhaps the gumption to approach them and ask what it meant to them personally. But I was told, I was talking to my brother, actually, and he decoded it a little bit for me. And he was telling me that for some people that the spider web means, and not just as a tattoo, but it means wasted potential. Or wasted time, like cobwebs form. I know cobwebs and spiderwebs are two different things, but wasted time. And, you know, it means somebody may not have felt that they lived up to their full potential. And in a tattoo form, it may or may not have meant that somebody was locked up or did time. Or, you know, again, because I didn't ask what it meant to them, I don't know that. It could have been that they just felt that they weren't able to reach their full potential. So, you know, symbolism is part of the way that I work with spirit. It's part of my personal spiritual journey. So I try to just be aware of things. And when I meditate in the morning, you know, the first thing that I do, and I learned this from my mom, is to give gratitude for waking up. For being on this plane of existence. And, you know, I've had other jobs other than medium, and, sorry, I'm getting ready to sneeze here. I hope not. I've had other jobs, and I used to have one where I, you know, would come in and I would say, somebody would say, you know, how are you? And I'd say, well, you know, I'm doing good, I'm alive, I woke up this morning. And they took that as something that generally somebody who is much, much older would say. But it wasn't about that. It wasn't about the age, and it wasn't about, you know, it's not that I have poor health or I was, you know, concerned that there would be a time when I wouldn't necessarily wake up in the morning. It was a moment of being in gratitude that I did have the rest of this time, that I had more time to be here and to, you know, serve my purpose and be happy. And that was something that, you know, if we take that for granted, if we don't have as a value life, then, you know, we're going to miss out on a lot of other things. So, hello to everybody who is grabbing my attention, typing in, saying hello. I appreciate you joining us. For anybody who wants to call in or write in with a question, the number here is 818-739-8818. You can also type in, and I will attempt to connect with you that way as well. I should mention I am one of currently four blog talk radio shows for Lilydale. And the other ones are, let's see, Tuesday evening, Embracing Your Essence with the fabulous Colleen VanderZeiden at 8 p.m. And Wednesdays, we have two shows. We're very lucky with that. We have Wednesdays with Willa at 10 a.m. And we also have John White with Journey into the Light at 8 p.m. Some of us broadcast on Facebook. John White does not. He doesn't like the visual format, but you can find him in all of the shows, in reruns, in the archives on blogtalkradio.com/LilyDaleRadio at any time. And just a fun note, somebody told me last week that the time zones do not matter. So if you are in Arizona, you're going to listen at 10 a.m. Your time, and if you are in Lilydale, New York, Spiritualist Camp, Center for the Religion, Science, and Philosophy of Spiritualism. I love that phrasing, so I throw it in there every now and again. Then you will listen 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and it all, I guess it's self-regulating with that. So, but we are on Facebook, whenever you want to find us, and we're on Blog Talk and the archives. So if you missed an episode, don't worry, we're here. Okay. So, okay, so why am I talking about the personal spiritual journey today? It's because I asked you, what did you want to hear about? And I printed it out. I do listen. I take requests even. So, personal spiritual journey, you know, part of the trip, part of the daily devotional practice. You know, people ask me about how do you become a medium or how do you become a better medium. It's about developing that relationship with yourself, with your higher self, with your creator, and, you know, taking the time to be in tune with yourself and with that higher source energy every day and being aware your life is your spiritual practice. So whether you are talking to your loved ones or creator while you're brushing your teeth, that's a great time because you know how to brush your teeth, right? So you can go totally into your right brain because you don't need a lot of brain power for something that you automatically have a sense memory, a muscle memory of how to do. And you're going to be a little bit conscious, you know, did I get that back molar sort of thing? But it doesn't take loads and loads of information and attention in order to do that. So I have a lot of questions to get through today, but that's, you know, that's a really big one. And I wanted to read that poem this morning because I wanted to talk about intention with your spiritual nature and progression as well because, you know, I feel like to do a blessing, the point of that is that it's not about giving away your power or praying the way that somebody told you to or using the exact words that somebody told you to. If you like that, then that's great. The prayer that I do with every single one of my clients is one that I have lovingly borrowed and with permission freely given from when I went through the Fellowships of the Spirit training program here just around the corner in Casadega is where the school building is. And, you know, that's it works because it sets the intention. Other people, I know Dr. Neal, who is, I call him that because he is also a medical doctor, but his name is Neal Rips. Rebskowski, and he is the current president of the Lilydale Assembly. He says a prayer of, you know, give us this day our daily bread, which means give us what we need to know that is nourishing. And that's how, you know, he sets his intention. For other people, they have a little bit of a ritual in setting their intention and going through a practice and smudging and sitting in meditation, and some people, and that is very healing for them and very nourishing, and it works. So that's great. That's perfect. For other people, we have to be a little bit careful that we don't set limitations on ourselves. And that's part of the thing about, by the way, guys, I have these huge snow piles outside my house, right, from the plows. And there is a cat looking in at me through the window, which I did not expect, but pretty hilarious. And cats are a symbol of divine feminine wisdom. But, you know, in this case, it might just be Tom of Tom and Jerry who is hearing my voice and seeing me through the glass, and I think he's hilarious. So good morning to my viewers, and good morning to the cat outside as well. You know, pets are, you know, part of, can be part of our spiritual practice also, because, you know, part of respecting life and valuing life is valuing not just our lives, but the human lives, and the human lives, but also those of, you know, the being in tune with nature and respecting plant life and respecting animal life. And somebody is commenting that I seem to attract cats, and it's because they know that I will not pester them, and thus they choose to come and be in my energy. And also, we just happen to have a lot of cats in Lilydale. Please do not come and drop animals off. We do our best as neighbors to try and find them homes, but you know, we have a lot of indoor-outdoor cats, and we've had a lot of cats who have been drop-offs, and a lot of the neighbors work very closely with the humane societies in the area, trying to get them spayed and neutered and get them good homes. But yeah, we have pretty awful winters here in ski country, and so if you drop them off, that's kind of hard. And for those of you commenting on the Lilydale season, very exciting news, by the way. You can now book a hotel room online at lilydaleassembly.org. Our program is out online. We do a very special thing every year. You know, we have our roots and tradition as a spiritualist camp. We are still technically a spiritualist camp, but there are permanent structures here. There are permanent homes. It's a Victorian village. My house is one of the newer ones. It was built in the 1920s, so that'll tell you something. And I believe, I was told, but I haven't verified this, so don't hold me to it, that my house is here because the original house, the original structure on the property burned down. Now, oak trees on either side of my house, these are from the 1880s, and that's because they were the original property line markers, and that was something that was done. We are in the Leolin Woods, which is an old-growth forest, and part of our bylaws is we talk about the preservation of the virgin or old-growth forest. Now, technically, those are two different things, but you get my point. So we try not to touch our trees. We value them. We value their lives. And what they do for us and the shade that they bring us. And, you know, so unless it's threatening life or property, we try to leave them where they are. And just, you know, for the houses, we trim them back so that they don't knock out the power lines or that sort of thing. But, yeah, and, you know, we are here all year round. Like I said, we have permanent structures. We have a class we just had last month. This month and last month, some classes. This coming month, we have a really awesome course, April 6th through the 8th. So it's Friday night, Saturday, and part of Sunday with Judith Rochester, Dr. Judith Rochester, PhD. She is really kind of a living legend, and her work as a medium, she's a retired Lilydale medium as well. She still does some teaching. She is amazing, and if you can catch that class, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. If you can't, I highly recommend that you get her book. She's really, which is about developing your mediumship, she's really awesome, and that can be found on Amazon. Pretty soon, excited, the LilydaleAssembly.org will also be featuring an online store for all things Lilydale swag. So you can get your T-shirts and your collectibles and all sorts of other really cool things. So, you know, we're excited about that, and we hope you are too. But anyway, yeah, Judith Rochester, April 6th through the 8th. She's awesome. Check her out. You know, if you're going to take one class over the winter, I would recommend her. If you're going to take one class over the summer, I would recommend her then as well, because she's teaching. And our summer program, like I said, is up online. We should have the PDF up of the whole season fairly soon, too. So if you want to download that, that would be great also, if you don't want to wait for the actual catalog. So, okay. So, you know, you can bless yourself and you can bless others. You can be a blessing to others. And not just about blessing your food, which is the most common thing that we think of with blessings, but, you know, think of all the great traditions. This is part of why I'm wearing my Irish, my Irish-inspired gear here today, is tradition, right? These are things that keep us in tune with the people that we love growing up. So, you know, think about that. And but you don't have to go just to a priest or a minister or a medium for a blessing. You know, you can, in fact, you know, occasionally people will call me out to do a house blessing for them because they have a new house or because, you know, they've got something going on, and I'll go over and do that. I had my house blessed by the Tibetan monks when they were in Lilydale about 5 seasons ago. They are coming back, this, by the way, this year. They will be here for the opening, so that's something really cool to check out. I'll be making their sand mandala and doing ceremonies and dancing and singing and for one evening and all kinds of cool stuff. So check that out. Tickets available online. but, yeah, I keep going back to this because the thing is, you know, we are far more powerful in our spiritual experience than what we give ourselves credit for. And, you know, being in tune with the tradition and being in tune with the symbolism of what's going on around us. And here's the thing. Somebody asked me about the daily devotional practice. The daily devotional practice, that can be taking 2 minutes to just sit and breathe. That can be, which is a meditation. It can be allowing yourself to let your mind go slack while you're brushing your teeth. It can be while you're taking a shower. Anything where you're doing the dishes, anything where you're on autopilot, okay? Making the bed, that can be part of your spiritual practice. Just waking up in the morning and saying, thank you. I have this day, and it doesn't matter what happened before. Okay, so that's how we kind of get rid of some of the, we use this practice to get rid of the anxiety that people have. And especially in this world when we have so much that bombards us, you know. We don't live, we're not an agrarian society anymore. We're not hunter-gatherers. So we don't, you know, those were two things that were very balancing for us because it was like, you know, when it was cold and dreary out, we would kind of huddle up together and work on other things and sleep a lot and rest and turn to the spiritual. And, you know, in when we had harvest, we would give gratitude for that. We live out of tune, but we still have some of these traditions, like celebrating your heritage with Irish Day. And these are things that can be very spiritual because we can give thanks for that time, and we can promise just to be the best version of yourself in the moment, minute by minute, 5 minutes at a time if you need to, 10 minutes at a time if you need to, 15 minutes at a time if you need to. That's perfect. Good enough, okay? So just do what you can do and let yourself off the hook for whatever it was before. Okay, try to think about what is going to be best for yourself, for the brotherhood of man. It, you know, you can, being in tune with the moment and with Creator, that's going to really shift everything for you and shift your perspective. It's very interesting. There's been a lot of coverage. Stephen Hawking passed yesterday, and as soon as I got up in the morning and I got myself ready, and then I checked on Facebook to look at something, and that was, and it was just a stream of people from all different walks of life commenting on his life and how they missed him, and you know, how they wish that you know, they had that they understood his work a little better, but they understood him as a person. They identified him with warm, fuzzy feelings because he was somebody who was a visionary. He looked beyond the obvious. He questioned himself. He pushed himself. He gave us a better understanding, and that was his version of service to humanity. Now, he did not believe in a creator in a religious sense. He didn't believe in the teachings of the Anglican Church, which was his background. And, you know, that's okay. But he was great in his service to humanity. He did believe in humankind and mankind and in pushing ourselves and understanding and having having life as something that should be, you know, kind of sacred. By the way, I hear a snowplow coming in the background. A snowblower, I should say. So if you hear something loud, go past the house in a minute, and you'll know what it is. So that covers my daily devotional practice. But, you know, whatever your understanding is, honor that, and honor that with other people. Because if you are really secure in your belief system, you are not trying to bash anybody over the head with it, or disprove them, or you know, push them away. If we all take the opportunity to be seekers in this lifetime, what an incredible thing that is, you know. And that's something that helps us with, you know, keeping humanity on the right track. So, you know, Stephen Hawking, one of the most remarkable things that he showed us was really how teeny tiny we are compared to this very vast universe that we're just starting. We're just in sort of the infancy state of understanding. And whether we understand it intellectually or we understand it on a soul level, you know, it's all the same, really. you know, it doesn't, you know, eventually, hopefully, we'll get to the point of having both. That would be fantastic. But having a left brain understanding is no more important than having the soul feeling and connection, the right brain understanding. And that's something that, you know, I don't understand why people feel that spirituality and science should be at odds. I really don't. So, you know, that creates more, if we fail to ask questions, then we are failing to live up to our potential. And I feel like as I go through life and I push myself, I understand things differently now than I did a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. And hopefully that's the same for all of us, you know. So, okay, other questions. We had a question about explaining the different planes of existence, and I was sort of edging this way. So what does the other side look like? When we cleanse our houses and ourselves or do Reiki or spiritual healing, where does that energy go? Do spirits get stuck, and how do you get them to the other side? Okay, so a lot of different things with this one. So, Emily, thank you for all of those questions because they're awesome. And I truly, truly appreciate it, by the way. So explaining the different planes of existence, it's about, and sort of edging into the physics with this one, but, you know, it's, the other side is a lot like here, except we just don't have the limitations that we do when we're here. You know, the thing is, the consciousness, we try on this plane of existence at the level and rate that we're vibrating to be in physical form, we think of ourselves as being very limited, and in a lot of ways that makes us very limited. There are a lot of things that, you know, there's sort of the monkey see, monkey do model of the universe. When we realize that we are not so trapped, that there are lots and lots of things that we can do, you know, and I'm going to go a little woo-woo on you here and a little out there, and, you know, whether you accept it or not, this is my understanding of things, and I can only speak for myself. When we think of ourselves as being limited, and one of the big things that we think of is gravity, right? We think of ourselves as, you know, we assume that as we walk around that the Earth's gravitational pull makes us heavy enough that we're not going to float away. And therefore, in our minds, we think we cannot float, we cannot levitate. And yet, people who have a devotional practice of meditation and mantras with this, telekinesis, psychokinesis, levitation, all of these things are possible. And as we connect with people who can do this, we realize those limitations are not there. It breaks the limitation, and we can do it too. That's why we get, and I want to put this in quotations, poltergeists, because 9 times out of 10, that has nothing to do with disincarnate spirits who are upset or angry or this sort of thing. 9 times out of 10, it has to do with somebody who is going through a hormonal change. So kids who are hitting puberty, adults who are hitting menopause or andropause, also known as menopause, it does happen. I apologize for the losing the voice here. And then the other 1% of the time, if you believe in consciousness, which I do, it's part of one of my fundamental beliefs, that we are conscious and we exist through different planes of reality, even if we don't have this physical body, even if we're vibrating at a higher rate. You know, there are, if we believe in that intelligence remaining with the soul after after we pass, then, you know, that's something that you have to take into account, okay? So I laugh when I hear somebody saying that they're into parapsychology, because in my mind, parapsychology is psychology. And if you take the time to ask this intelligent being, okay, so going on, what are you doing? What is the purpose of what you're doing? Then you're going to get a much better answer than assuming. It's like teachers. You know, if you are a teacher and you assume that little Johnny is acting out because he's being willful in your class, then you're going to treat him accordingly. But if you take the time to ask him, hey, what's going on with you? Maybe he's not feeling well, or maybe he has low blood sugar, or maybe there's something going on in his home life that is creating this kind of behavior, right? And the best teachers do take the time to ask those things. And I know a lot of people who are teachers or school psychologists or work with little ones, and, you know, it's like they really, if you're good at your job, you're a specialist but not so narrow that you don't have an understanding of the bigger picture with things. And that is the difference between somebody who you know, has tools and a big skill set. And I think that's probably why in a lot of professions, we do continued education. You know, teachers do continued education. Doctors and lawyers do continued education. They grow. They learn. And it's the same with the soul. That's what we're doing all the time. And so if you want to know what the spirit world is like, we think of sort of like the next trip, right? We think of where we go when we don't have a body anymore. And when we don't have a body anymore, the next plane of reality, you know, I am told, I have it on good authority from those who have left their bodies, that the next plane is very much like this one, except, again, without those limitations. The thing, we don't have the physical body, so we don't need to eat or drink or sleep, but we do rest. We do review things. And I had one person that came in and said to me, you know, tell her that what I'm doing when I review things over here as I'm learning and growing, that I have a set of memories that are just about, and they were a huge, huge part of that for me when I was on this plane of existence from the time we first met or from the time that they were born, if they're your child, or from the time that, you know, all of these things, it matters. It matters that we have given someone an opportunity to play a happy role in our lives. You know, that it, because we want to be in control sometimes, and sometimes, you know, one of the best things that we can do for someone is also allow them to be present for you, or allow them to make you that cup of tea, or, you know, talk to them about your day, because it's the sharing of that energy that's really important, and it's how we grow together, right? Because a lot of times in this world, what we're handicapped by is we don't know what we don't know. And that can get us into an awful lot of trouble, what we don't know that we don't know. So think about it that way, okay? And there's the next plane of existence where we're sort of growing into ourselves spiritually, and we're reviewing life, and we're, you know, learning what we could have done better, or, you know, where we should give ourselves some praise, that sort of thing. And we continue to grow, and that's a key component of spiritualism, is we believe that the soul, not so much, I don't think of it so much as reaching for perfection, or that, or to get to the point of sort of rejoining the Godhead, or you know, becoming that part of it, but just that, you know, we're experiencing ourselves through these different versions, and helping each other, and you know, so there's lots and lots of different planes of reality and existence. But we are very focused on whether somebody gets stuck here. I truly believe that nobody gets stuck here. You know, a lot of times people can choose to hang out on this plane of existence because it's what they're comfortable with and it's what they know. I like to use the analogy of swimming in a lake. Some people are terrified to go swimming in a lake because they can't see the bottom because it's a little murkier than, say, you know, the Bahamas, something like that, which is crystal clear. And some people don't like the temperature change, you know, so they will sort of tiptoe in versus diving, right? And for some people, they're all in. They want to go in immediately. That's the best thing. And so that's what they do, and I think that's awesome, too. So, you know, and it's true, we learn by these situations. We learn a lot, you know, based on who's around us on this plane of existence, and, you know, we learn about our spiritual gifts. I say that intuition is, everybody has intuition, and it's a extension of our survival skills, right? So we have that, and then if we allow ourselves to be a little more open, We can also be in tune with symbolism from our Creator. That's an extension of intuition as well. And we can also be in tune with our spiritual loved ones as well as they come around. But, you know, I think it's a choice. Very, very rarely somebody gets into a position where they're a little confused or they're a little, you know, emotionally stuck, that sort of thing. You know, they're focused on their reality when they still had a body. And so you talk to them a little bit. And if that means it's parapsychology rather than psychology, that's how you want to term it, okay. But it's a very important thing. So, you know, you talk to your loved ones because, and talk to the people that may be around. You may have somebody that that pops in or pops by your house because they liked it. Sometimes there's bleed over between dimensions. And, you know, I like the physics principle in thinking about, and I know there are updated theories since M theory or string theory, but the concept of all time happening at once, you know, I think sometimes it takes us a long time to discover something or uncover something because it hasn't quite been written in the past yet because time is all happening at the same time. So there's this kind of overlapping thing. So hopefully that sort of explains things a little better. You know, when you do a house clearing, it's about in setting intention. And just like your daily devotional practice, just like your setting intention, like I set intention with my prayer before I do a reading, it's about how you put your energy, and that will sort of transmute the energy around. So, you know, sometimes you walk into a house and it just doesn't feel good, or you hold a piece of paper and you go, I don't like the energy of this, and you ask why. Could be something environmental, because as humans, that survival instinct, we can pick up on environmental things, and, you know, maybe you're a little too close to, you know, high-frequency electrical lines, and that gives you a bad feeling in your tummy, and you may feel that in your body, and it may even feel like anxiety to you, or it may feel like anger to you, or there may be something going on environmentally around a place that, for some reason, it creates that bleed through of energy, and if something very emotional happened, it may almost be like a sticking point. So that can be transmuted, that energy, by shifting the focus. And as you shift the focus by setting a different intention and doing a blessing, you're shifting the reality of a situation. If you have something going on in your house, I always say look for a practical reason with that. I've spoken about that before. Got kind of a mad email about that later, by the way. so I won't bring it up again. But look for practical reasons why something may be happening. And then think about, you know, or ask if you sense that there is an intelligence behind what's going on. Then ask that intelligence, so what's going on? Why do you need to do this? What are you trying to bring my attention to? Or are you upset about something? Or, you know, but if your loved ones are coming to visit, it does not mean that there is something wrong. And I want to make sure that I stress that. Often, they just want to be present in our lives. They just want to participate with us. You know, they want to come in and they'll remind us of the anniversary of their crossing, which is their rebirth into spirit. You know, they will remind us of a birthday. Maybe they want to come in and celebrate your birthday, or they loved Christmas, so they're going to come around then, you know, to share in this. And for some people, that's a really radical idea, but, you know, it happens. And I have it on good authority that we continue to help people on the other side, and we continue to grow. So Okay. And remember, you can't always catch us in reruns and rewinds. it is posted on the Lily Dale Assembly Facebook page, Lily Dale Assembly, Inc., and also on my personal Facebook page, Celeste Elliott. And you can find, by the way, there's a listing of registered mediums. Somebody had asked me about that off the Lily Dale Assembly page. So lilydaleassembly.org, you can look there. But for reruns on Blog Talk, it's blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. I do want to get to a caller. They've been waiting very patiently. Last four digits of your phone number are 2033, so if you could give me your name and where you're calling from, that'd be great.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. You sound like you're full of energy today. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I am. I've actually been to Lily Dale before, and I loved it.
Oh, fabulous. And what is your name?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
My name is Kimberly, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Fantastic. Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in. And did you have a question today, or were you looking for a little bit of mediumship guidance?
I actually was looking for a little bit of mediumship guidance, if we could.
Sure. Okay. And just because of time, was there somebody specifically that you were looking to connect with?
Yes. She was like my mother-in-law, actually my boyfriend's mother, but she was like my mother-in-law.
You know, Kimberly, as I focus in on your energy, and you know, we always set the intention, and it sort of sends out the invitation for the person in spirit that we want to hear from. Of course, we can't guarantee that they will show up, but would you understand that this lady? I feel like I feel very emotional with her. And I feel like if she was excited about something, you knew it.
if she was what about something? I'm sorry.
If she was excited about something.
Okay.
She couldn't really hold that back. Even though she wasn't technically your mother-in-law, she gives me the feeling that you inherited some, like, pieces of jewelry from her as well. You understand this?
I didn't from her.
Okay. Well, that's an important clue. So let me go a little further into this because we may not have mother-in-law after all. So female energy feels like a motherly energy towards you, a bit on the short side. A little bit rounder than she necessarily wanted to be. I do feel like there was a problem with blood pressure for her, definitely, and possibly also.
Possibly what? I'm sorry.
And possibly sugar issue as well.
Okay.
Okay. But I definitely feel something with the blood pressure because I'm feeling very flushed for her, very warm. I also am aware of there being a Catholic connection because out of this square wooden jewelry box, I feel like I want to take out some rosary beads as well. So whether she was practicing or not, or that was just like a family heirloom, I need to talk about the rosary beads. Okay. So do you have a better understanding based on that information?
I don't. I wish I did. I'm sorry.
Okay. From mom's side of the family, who was the lady who was very, she was very devoted. She was very emotionally connected. She could get very excited about things. I kind of feel like she would fight to feel included. Like she needed to be made to feel special. Do you understand?
Yeah, it sounds like my great-grandmother.
Okay. All right. So that would explain why the mother energy. All right. She wants to be the first one through to say hello to you. Okay? And just like in life, personality-wise, she is fighting to be seen as important enough to come through first.
Well, that would make sense. That would make sense.
True to form. You know, she has shown up, and I see her as moving pictures on the wall, like straightening them, okay? So I don't know what the deal is where they kind of go a little slantways. I don't know if that's just like movement in the house, vibration, but I see her straightening them, okay? And she's talking about, so that is a symbol of her being around and sort of taking care of things, okay?
Okay.
And she also talks about somebody who keeps forgetting to water the plants, and it's a plant that kind of overhangs the planter. So I don't know if I'm looking at like an ivy or something, but it's not a hanging plant, but it could be, but it's in an actual plant. Okay. And she's saying somebody keeps forgetting to water it, so she takes care of it for them. So that's why it's stolen.
Okay.
Okay. And it's just her way of saying, like, I'm around you, I'm devoted to you. She's acknowledging that you may have the opportunity to, it's like they will acknowledge where you're putting your energy, and she's saying there's something about if you get the new job, you could be relocating physically also, okay?
Okay.
And she says, but you're watching your pennies at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
And acknowledging that she's around, she's paying attention, she's helping you where she can to make things easier, like keeping that plant alive. I don't know how spirit people water plants. I think it's cool. and then also, now the kind of mother-in-law figure, I feel like I want to talk about like a fluid buildup for her. Do you understand?
Okay. Yes.
I feel the lungs affected. I feel the heart affected. I don't know if I want to talk about this as being a drawn-out illness.
Right.
But I do feel that she was pretty ill.
Right.
And she says that she's not letting you forget about her. Not that you'd want to, by the way. I understand. But because I'm getting the song from the 80s movie about Don't You Forget About Me, okay? And I see her just laughing, and it's like she laughs with her whole being.
Yes.
Yeah. Did she like wear wigs, or she didn't have hair, or there was very, very thin hair? There's something about the hair that she keeps bringing my attention to.
No, she didn't wear wigs. She had hair. She was always worried about the way her hair looked, though. It was short.
She was always worried about it. Okay, because I keep wanting to, this whole time I've been doing the show, I keep wanting to bring my hand up to my hair. So, you know, just be aware you may feel her around by physically feeling some tingle sensation or almost like a light itch feeling with the hair, because she says that she noticed people's hair. She would notice it for them, as well as for herself. Like she had a thing about volume and not a hair out of place sort of thing is how I heard it.
Right.
But she loves you, and she loves your devotion to your, and I'll just call him husband because you're that entrenched in the relationship, okay?
That's true.
So you know you have her blessing for whatever you need to do to live your best life, okay?
Okay.
She will care about you, and she will always look in on you.
Okay.
So that's her main thing. She's, you know, everything was done right for her. She's not worried about herself over there. That's not who she is. She's worried, happy. So.
Does she say anything about Jeremy? Any worries about him, his health, or anything?
I have to say I don't feel that she that's not how she's bringing it through.
Okay.
So, you know, I often say in that kind of situation, no news is good news, eh?
That's good, yeah, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just didn't know if there was a message that I could give him from her.
Every time I check in with her, she just says, just let them know that not only am I at peace, but I'm really happy. And I know that seems like not a huge or significant message, but in her mind, it is. That's her main focus in getting across, because he's still worried about her and whether
yes.
he did right or did enough. And she says, absolutely. So she does come to
good.
Visit because she's mad. It's not because she's punishing him. It's because she loves her son. So.
What did you say? She does come to visit?
She does come to visit. Yeah. And that's when you may feel the thing about the hair, okay?
Okay.
And same with him. But she is teasing him that she wishes he dressed a little better.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
You can pass that along or not.
Okay. Can I just ask one more question? Does she have any, like, about his business that he's trying to do and his stress? I mean, I guess.
No, because she says he's always been like that.
That's true.
And, you know, and she says that's just who he is. He's always going to worry whether I tell him to or not. you know, her main thing is that she keeps saying, you know, everything is all right with him. He just has to kind of let go of some of that anxiety. And what I talked about in the beginning of the show, that may be something that you want to share with him, that it's just about taking time to kind of notice where you are. And if you want to drag him along to a meditation class with you, I say all the better.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. All right.
But his meditation up till now has been about busying his hands, and that's how he kind of gets his messages also. That's how he gets in tune. So let him keep doing that, but maybe add something else in to kind of help relieve the stress.
Okay. Does she think he'll stop drinking anytime soon? Because that's the big thing, and I know she didn't like that when she was here.
No, she didn't, but that's a manifestation of the anxiety.
Yes.
And that's not diagnosis, by the way. It's what I feel her giving me information-wise, because I'm definitely not qualified to diagnose or prescribe. But, you know, she's acknowledging that, you know, this is who he is, but it's something that he can also get a handle on, as it were. Okay?
Okay.
You know, she keeps bringing me the word peace. Okay, and I would say look for the symbol of the dove with her, because
okay.
her saying I'm bringing you all blessings of peace. So.
Okay, okay, and I guess she's the one who's been bringing us feathers.
Yeah, that would be part of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. You've been so helpful. I appreciate it. I love listening to your show.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay, well,
have a great
day. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So I am definitely out of time at this point, so I just want to say to you all, I am wishing you a good day and good vibes, and please tune in again next Thursday at 10 a.m., and I'll be taking more callers then. Okay. Have a good day.